You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome, everyone, to the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Recording a day early here. Surprise, surprise. This is why you subscribe to the podcast feed. We got, you know, some things going on this weekend, but we didn't want to leave you guys hanging between myself and Griffin here. So I wanted to continue our bet streak. I guess we can say our hot start to the season here as well. Brand new series starting this weekend, but we do have 10 games on the schedule on Thursday, and like we always do, we'll get into every single one of those games for you guys and give out give you guys a promo code for pregame.com, and also we'll wrap it up, of course, with our best bets for the Thursday games here. But joining me as usual to help me break everything down happening on the diamond, one of the hottest cappers right now on the pitch as well, it's my main man, Griffin Warner. Griffin, how's it going, my friend?
It's going well. Soccer, as you mentioned, is going great. This version of pitch, working it out. Unfortunately, I lost my best bet our last pod, and yours got canceled by a pitching change, which,
yeah,
I guess the beauty of Major League Baseball betting is you have no idea who's going to actually start, especially when we're recording a day in advance. The nice part, maybe of us doing this special night, because I'm attending the NFL draft tomorrow in Detroit. I think it's going to be a nice little situation where it's going to be much less time for them to scratch a pitcher by the time we have a bunch of day games tomorrow. So thank you, Munaf, for accommodating me. And this will probably be a special Wednesday night episode, but expect us to be back on a Thursday-Sunday schedule moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the great part is that we're always flexible for each other. So that just makes a great partnership here on the podcast. So, you know, like Griffin mentioned, my best bet got canceled because of the pitching change. It was Ronaldo Lopez, and then they pushed him a day back. Bryce Elder got the start there for the Braves, but they still cover the run line. But of course, I'm not going to count that towards my record with the pitching change. You know, the funny part was, Griffin, that Hunter Green actually pitched a pretty good game. He went seven innings. I want to say he allowed three earned runs, but he got absolutely zero run support. And that's not going to fly when you're giving out bets here. So hopefully the bats wake up for the Cincinnati Reds here going up against at least the Phillies, you know, to wrap up the getaway game here on Thursday. But yeah, like I mentioned, 10 games on the schedule for Thursday, a lot of day baseball to get us through the working day. So I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun for everyone. So Griffin, let's just kick it off here, man. We got an early start tomorrow. 12:35 Eastern time, we've got a battle of the NL Central teams. The Milwaukee Brewers, they are in Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. Freddy Peralta getting the start here for the Brewers, and Mitch Keller gets the start here for the Pirates. Currently, I see the Brewers a -125 road favorite here, plus money on the home team here, the Pirates at +105. Total is set at 7 in this game here, Griffin. Freddy Peralta, quietly the second favorite now in the National League Cy Young Award.
Hey, look now. Someone's got, I think, 22-1. Is that your number, Munaf, on Freddy Peralta?
I have a 50-1 on strikeout leader, and that did pick up some Cy Young on him as well. So
okay.
Still early, but we'll see. He's off to a great start, though.
All you can do is start the season and try to last as long as possible is probably the makeup. Great start for the Brewers. They're off. Finally got a win, I think, on Wednesday night in the series. I'm are teeter tottering a little bit. I feel like Milwaukee missing Christian Yelich. That's, I think, a big problem for their offense.
Yeah.
But it started out really hot to begin the season. It's tailed off a little bit, as you would expect, of some reversion to the mean. But when I go through that Milwaukee lineup, I'm really questioning, like, who are we afraid of, really? On a Pittsburgh side, you could probably say similar things. So I think Andrew McCutchen led off two games this week already with home runs. So maybe he's found, I know he's over 300 now in his career. Maybe he's figured out, found that fountain of youth or something of that nature. Mitch Keller certainly got youth on his side and is one of those pitchers that can throw seven or eight pitches in a game. I think that is almost a detractor because you don't really know what he's going to throw. He doesn't know what he's going to throw. And it takes him a little while to really warm up to what he's got that day. Cause I don't think, I mean, you hear it all the time. The bullpen mound is way different than the, I guess the real thing. But I'm interested in the home underdog. I think just based on my general strategy, I think across all sports now is find favorites on the road that I just don't really think that are favorites on the road that have some flaws. I think the Milwaukee bullpen is still questionable without their closer, who's out for a couple more months. They've been piecing that together with a lot of different names. And I think ultimately that batting lineup is still, it's not hitting enough for me to be too worried. Total feels low at seven, but it is getaway day. And we've seen some of these umpire strike zones that are literally just from box to box, it feels like, and not really caring about that little white box in the middle. So give me Pittsburgh. And it's tough to say for a total here. It's low, but I guess it's low for a reason.
Yeah, again, low for a reason, like you mentioned. I think the Brewers' offensive struggles, especially without Yelich, are a little bit telling here. I'm going to back my guy, Freddy Peralta, here, right? I mean, he's 2-0 with a 1.90 ERA. The Brewers have won all four of his starts this season, coming off of a start where he shut out the St. Louis Cardinals. Six innings, four hits allowed, no earned runs in that game, did have seven strikeouts. And like you mentioned, Mitch Keller, the struggles are there for him. And last season, I do remember that before the All-Star break, he was an absolute lights out pitcher and just kind of fell off after the All-Star break last year for this Pirates team. And you know, he's allowed at least two earned runs in every single one of his starts. He's allowed four earned runs in three of his five starts this season. And also what kind of makes me nervous here, and I know lineups change and things like that, but Mitch Keller against the Brewers in his career in six appearances is 0-4 with a 6.23 ERA. So, you know, that's the part that does make me nervous here. So, I mean, I'm a little biased here. You can tell in my voice here, Griffin, because I have the Freddy Peralta tickets. So take that with a grain of salt, but I'm going to back my guy here, Freddy Peralta, on the money line.
I'm just glad you're not wearing the jersey right now. You're waiting for a little while to put it on.
Yeah, maybe by the end of the season where we're kind of doing an off-season pod or something like that, you may see me in a Freddy Peralta jersey if those tickets do come in. But this should be a good one here between these two squads to start the day. Next game on the schedule here, it's going to be a 1:10 Eastern start. We've got the Philadelphia Phillies. They are in Cincinnati to take on the Reds. Zach Wheeler gets a start here for the Phillies, and Nick Martinez gets a start here for the Cincinnati Reds. Phillies are a -155 road favorite here, +130 on the money line for the Cincinnati Reds. Total is at 8 in this game here, Griffin. Zach Wheeler right now, like I mentioned, for Freddy Peralta, the second favorite. The favorite right now in the National League for Cy Young is Mr. Zach Wheeler. Pretty great season thus far. The record's not indicating it because he's not getting the run support right now, but they are in one of the hitter-friendly parks here. Griffin, what are we thinking about Zach Wheeler versus Nick Martinez?
So Zach Wheeler's awesome. He's got a long history of his career that I think also means he won't be babied as much, which certainly heightens the risk of injury. But I think on a day-to-day basis, when you're backing him and the Phillies, that's kind of a nice thing because you know he's going to be out there 100 pitches, maybe 110. A lot of other guys are, you know, never know if they're going to get pulled at 92 to end an inning or something like that. So I think we'll know what we get from Zach Wheeler. When I look at these two lineups, yes, very small park, the Great American Small Park, as some refer it to in Cincinnati. But I'm starting to wonder if the Cincinnati Reds lineup might be like the Midwest version of the Colorado Rockies, because I don't think they can really hit. They don't, I mean, their biggest threat, Ellie De La Cruz is off to a great start, but he's kind of like mercury or like a thermometer. It's up and down and it's hard to know. When he's on a streak, it takes over the world of baseball, it seems. And he's started the year off very well, but I don't really know how long that will last. And when I look throughout that Cincinnati lineup, especially rooting for runs on Monday's podcast, just really trying to find somewhere that the Reds could even come back. I feel like if they fall behind, it's pretty much game over at that point. So you really need them to hang in games. There's, I think, a lot of issues in their bullpen before they give the ball to Alexis Diaz at the end to close. And I just don't really love that combination of things. Nick Martinez is one of those pitch to contact guys that kind of survives on weak contact or maybe circumstance, luck, whatever it is. Philadelphia can really punish that type of arm. And while they haven't really hit so well to start the year, as you mentioned, with run support being an issue, I think that'll only get better as temperatures warm, though I don't know that it's going to be very hot in the Midwest, unfortunately, on April 25th when we're talking about all these games tomorrow. I know it's going to be cold in Detroit this weekend. So just check that forecast. So I think I'm most interested in an over eight as more of a kind of potentially Nick Martinez straining his neck, watching the ball fly really fast over his head. And Zach Wheeler potentially having a good start, but maybe not being pushed as hard because he's got a big lead. And then we see some of the lesser known arms at Philadelphia bullpen. That's probably my map to get to over eight. Good chance you get to a push on that type of number. It's a low number in a really small ballpark. And I think it's going to be one of those scenarios where that might be what it is requiring in order to see runs scored in this matchup for two lineups that I think will eventually get better as the weather warms. But I'm pretty concerned about Cincinnati at this point.
Yeah, share the same sentiments as you. Zach Wheeler actually did have a start against this Reds team back on Wednesday, April the 3rd. He went 6 innings in that game, allowed one earned run, 3 runs overall. Did also have 10 strikeouts in that game. But again, like I mentioned, not getting the run support where the offense only scored 1 run for him in that game. Prior to his last start, which was against the White Sox, where they finally got a victory for Zach Wheeler, the Phillies were actually 0-4 in his starts here, but I think he bounced back very nicely here. I actually do like the run line here for the Phillies. I think they can get to Nick Martinez here. Not sure how many innings he's going to be out there. He's been coming out of the bullpen for this team, kind of a, I guess, a long inning reliever that will, eat up those middle innings for you, because he did make 2 starts back against the Nationals and the Mets, and then he came out of the bullpen against the Mariners and Angels and had 4 and 3 innings respectively. So maybe he goes another 3, 4 innings here, maybe see the bullpen coming in. But at that point, I'm not sure I really do trust the Reds bullpen at that point. So I think Wheeler can go along well here. I think this is a game where he can get that run support, and I think he shuts down this Reds lineup. And like you mentioned, a little bit of struggles there for this offensive lineup right now for the Reds. So I do like the Phillies here on the run line, -1.5. That number is currently at +105, currently over on DraftKings. 110 Eastern start. We got the Chicago White Sox. They are in Minnesota to take on the Twins. Mike Soroka gets a start here for the Chicago White Sox, and Bailey Ober gets a start here for the Minnesota Twins. Twins, an overwhelming -250 home favorite here, +205 on the money line for the Chicago White Sox. 7.5 is the total in this game here, Griffin. And I believe this was on Monday night where the White Sox had a 3-run lead in the 8th inning to only let the Twins come back and win that game. And this team is
Indeed.
now 3, and I think the updated number is 21 or 22, but not very good right now for this White Sox team, to say the least. But what do you think about this game between the White Sox and the Twins?
Yeah, 3-run lead in the 9th and didn't even make it to the 10th. Walked off before even they got to play with an extra man, ghost runner on second base, or a Manfred man, as you might call it, depending on how angry you are at the Major League Baseball commissioner. I think the White Sox are just a no touch at this point. Because unfortunately, I don't know that they're ever an underdog. I mean, excuse me, they're always an underdog, but I don't know if they're ever an underdog I want to even consider. Run lines, yes, they get 9 at bats, potentially 8 at bats for Minnesota. But I think the only way you feel comfortable is you're like, okay, if the White Sox give up 1 run, then maybe they'll cover because they'll lose and get shut out. There's still a possibility. Mike Soroka is trying to revitalize or reestablish his career. I don't know what to expect from him, really. Bailey Ober had a really good start against Detroit, though I think it was 36 degrees last time out. Hopefully a little bit warmer in the sun in the afternoon, though I think that was an afternoon Sunday start, if I remember correctly. But I think Ober has shown that he's pretty good at getting weak contact or a lot of fly ball outs in his time. We haven't seen the ball traveling yet. I feel like there's some way to play this that maybe is a little bit beyond me, like Twins alternate run line or something like that. Because I do feel like there's a good chance it stays under the 7.5 total. I just don't really know what to do with White Sox games at this point. They're going to be a huge underdog, and I'm going to do my best to just look the other way.
Yeah, I mean, it's the run line here for me. I mean, I'm not going to think about this twice. Mike Soroka has just been absolutely atrocious thus far this season for the White Sox. Back-to-back starts, he's allowed 5 earned runs in each of those games. 4 of his 5 starts this season, Griffin, he's allowed at least 3 walks over his last 2 walks. Oh, sorry, over his last 2 games, allowed 9 total walks, 11 hits, and just 9 and or sorry, 10 and one-thirds innings pitched. And the White Sox have lost 4 of his last 5 starts, and the last 2 starts have been by multiple runs, by at least 4 runs. So, I think again, if they beat me, it's fine. But again, this is not a team that I want to put my money on right now. I think Twins just take care of business here on the run line, -1.5. Even though I don't get all 9 at bats, I mean, I don't think I'll need, especially with the starter and the bullpen for this game for the Minnesota Twins. So, you know, 1 + 1 sometimes does equal 2 when it does come to sports betting here, Griffin. Next game on the schedule, I'm looking forward to this one. This is going to be a great pitching matchup. 2:10 Eastern start. The Toronto Blue Jays, they are in Kansas City to take on the Royals. Jose Berrios gets to start here for the Blue Jays, and Cole Ragans gets to start here for the Royals. Royals are a slight home favorite here, -120 on the money line, and even money for the Toronto Blue Jays. Total is set at 8 in this game. Currently over on DraftKings, I do see some 7.5s popping up as well. But what are your thoughts about this game between the Blue Jays and the Royals?
So very good pitching matchup as you outlined. Barrios, I feel like, doesn't really impress anyone despite having huge expectations. He's never really lived up to those, but he's been very solid. Lots of quality starts. Pretty much all I really look for in starting pitchers, hoping if you can deliver a quality start, I feel like I've got a chance to win. And I'm sure the Blue Jays feel like they do every time he toes the bump. Cole Ragans on the other side got lit up, maybe due to some questionable umpiring, and actually the wrong direction, not giving strikes off the plate. I saw his first pitch of the game, like middle, called a ball, maybe a little bit up in the zone. And that certainly went all through social media from a weekend start against the Orioles. I don't know that there's a huge difference between Toronto and Baltimore in my mind, in despite wearing a Baltimore shirt at the moment. To me, it seems like there's a lot of similarities between those two offenses. I think better than league average, but maybe not top of the league at this point. But Reagan's a left-handed pitcher. He's got all the stuff. He was part of the Aroldis Chapman deal from the Rangers, which I feel like they want to have back, but they won their first World Series, so maybe it was worth it. Probably was. But I'm a little bit surprised to see Cole Ragans a favorite. Yes, Kansas City's played pretty well to start the season. They've been good at home. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised because Toronto was an underdog their whole series in San Diego last weekend and has kind of been a right around pick 'em this whole series in Kansas City as well. Never fun to go back-to-back road series or on a road trip. Certainly diminishes or lowers the win expectancy, I think. But Barrios, I think, can hang right with Cole Ragans. And I really like the Toronto bullpen. I think it's very deep at the moment. And they basically started the year and had to juggle positions. And then they got their studs back. And I feel like they've got a bunch more studs than they even thought they had. So give me Toronto here. I like that plus, that even money right now. And I'm excited to see kind of where the market pushes this number because I would expect Toronto money to come in, but I also expected that the whole series in San Diego and it didn't really come.
I mean, Jose Berrios has been absolutely lights out, to say the least. I mean, his last 3 starts, Griffin, he's gone, let's see here, 13, 19 and two-thirds innings over his last 3 starts. 0 earned runs allowed. He's only given up 11 hits in that span.
Is that
And
good?
it's pretty good. Maybe Cy Young worthy there for Jose Berrios. Seems like he's found his form again, and I think it's a great sign, obviously. For the Toronto Blue Jays, you know, we saw Kevin Gausman struggling early on this season, but again, this has been a very, very bright light here for the Toronto Blue Jays pitching staff. And the Blue Jays have won all 5 of the starts that he's made this season, and only one game, which was against the Astros, they won by 1 run. But other than that, it's been multiple runs that they've won in those four of those five games for Jose Bierce. And I think Cole Reagans does bounce back in the spot. Like you mentioned, there were some questionable calls by the umpire. Like, I think that's been another huge theme. Stop me if you heard that before, for the umpires in MLB this season, especially early on. But I do like the under.
I will not stop you on that.
I do like the under in this game at 8. I think that number does move to 7.5, come close to game time, or maybe even overnight here. So I would jump on that if you're able to find an 8. There is run right now over on DraftKings, but I think I would be with you on the Blue Jays here as well at even money against the Royals. Next game on the schedule, we got a 2:20 Eastern start. The Houston Astros, they are in Chicago to take on the Cubbies. Justin Verlander gets to start here for the Houston Astros, and Javier Assad gets to start here for the Chicago Cubs. Astros are a -125 road favorite here, +105 for the Chicago Cubs. No total just yet. Of course, we wait for the wind direction at Wrigley Field here, but Verlander making his second start since he did return from the IL in his first start last week, which was against the Washington Nationals. Pretty solid outing for him there, Griffin. 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. He did give up 1 home run in that game. The Astros did with the game against the Nationals, 5-3. Astros looking to avoid the sweep, I believe, with Justin Verlander on the mound here. But what do you think about the Astros and the Cubs?
So I watched that Astros first start for Verlander off the IL very, very closely. I think I was actually working out, and it's actually, I feel like I pay attention because there's nothing else distracting me at the moment. So I was pretty clued in, like trying to squat or, I don't know, pull down and being like, oh my God, I can't even do this. I could do this a week ago, but I don't think the Astros have won since then. I think they lost the last two in Washington, have lost each of the games of this Chicago Cubs series, and they're a road favorite. And I feel like if you've just been betting blindly against the Astros every day this season, you've been coming out way ahead. I don't know that anyone knew that would occur.
Yeah.
You could argue that it's a lot because of lack of pitcher health and that they will improve in that category and get healthier down the stretch / trade for things if they need to. But the team doesn't look very good to me at the moment, not hitting very well. They're certainly not navigating the first few innings with their pitching. What the nice part is, Verlander did look very good, I thought, against Washington. He was pretty much the same Justin Verlander, kind of took him out a little bit earlier than expected because it was his first start. But I feel like he'll probably be back to the max pitch count capacity that he can offer. But honestly, the Houston bullpen's good. It's got plenty of great arms into it. They added Josh Hader in the offseason, and it shouldn't be a problem for them, though it hasn't been great so far this year. The Chicago side, Assad has been very good, I feel like. And he sometimes loses it late in his outings and then is kind of reliant on his bullpen and inherited runners and stuff. And that hasn't always gone in his favor so far this season, but I feel like his numbers have been good. He keeps his team in the game, and a home underdog is very interesting, though. I got to say, I'm a little bit concerned about the Chicago Cubs bullpen in terms of holding a lead. Wouldn't really tell anyone to look away from a first five under lean on the home team or a first five side on the Cubs. I'll probably stick with a full game because I do still believe in the Chicago bullpen, though it does feel like that needs an upgrade with Mark Leiter potentially unavailable tomorrow. And it looks like Alzolay, who came in, I think, the sixth inning today, Yency Almonte, and some sort of combination of Hector Neris, who closed today and made me want to vomit the whole time he was in there. So including giving up a home run to Jose Altuve, and then had the real power hitters up next in the lineup about to tie it. So long-winded way of saying that Houston hasn't played well. Chicago is a home underdog. I can't look away.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. That I had the same play. Well, it's going to be the first five under in this game. If you want to back the Astros right now, you probably just want to do it in the first five innings with Verlander on the mound. I think that's the only way I would look at it, whether that's on the money line or the run line. And like you mentioned, right, I also did watch Verlander's first start, and he looked pretty solid. I think they're going to be very, very careful with him. I would see probably a cap of either around 5 to 6 innings or 80 to 85 pitches for Verlander to start the season here, as he kind of gets more starts under his belt here. So I would only recommend looking at the Astros in the first five innings, but I love the undercall that you did make there the first five
Yeah,
between those two
weather looks like
pitchers.
it's going to be low 50s, so that's not exactly home run weather to me.
Yeah, I agree. So runs may be at a premium in this game for sure. Next game on the schedule, we'll go over to a 2:35 Eastern start. The Seattle Mariners, they are in Texas to take on the Rangers. Luis Castillo getting the start here for the Mariners, and Andrew Haney gets the start here for the Texas Rangers. Rangers are a slight home underdog in this game, plus 105, minus 125 on the money line for the Seattle Mariners. Total is set at 9 in this game between these two squads. Griffin, what are we thinking? Mariners and Rangers. AL West battle here.
I mean, wild series. Rangers haven't been scoring much. Shutout on Monday night. Really great performance from Logan Gilbert. Luis Castillo maybe figuring it out. Had a great strikeout ratio despite maybe taking some losses earlier in the season he wasn't accustomed to. I still have questions about the Seattle lineup. I feel like they strike out way too much, but Andrew Heaney has been hanging on by a thread to a starting rotation role, and I think would have lost it by now if Cody Bradford was still healthy. Max Scherzer threw a rehab start today. DeGrom's coming at some point. Same with Tyler Mahle. So, or Mahle. So I don't know what's the plan is really. I feel like it makes sense to me that Seattle's a slight favorite, though I kind of was surprised coming into the series and expected Texas to be a favorite in each of the games, but it's been very close so far in this series. Feels like a lot of respect being paid to the road team, which is a bit of a surprise to me, but I feel like Texas has been kind of undervalued, though I do feel like their World Series roster is so different than the lineup they're currently putting out there. So I'm not surprised by it. It's kind of hard to say which way to go. If you're playing a first five under, is probably my biggest interest. It's backing Luis Castillo. He has to be good, and you have to get either length from Andrew Heaney or at least him getting some outs and not blowing up the scoreboard. So tough to really find answers in those directions, but I think based on the series being so low scoring, I think that's the only way I'd lean.
It's interesting to see Andrew Haney.
This is RJ, and here's what I know for sure. In the last few years, there's been a change in what people wear. Maybe it was COVID, maybe it's the evolution of things. I don't know, but what I know is this. There's a merging. The things that maybe before you had this outfit for the beginning of the day, then later you have another out. No, the lines, they're blurring. And you know, American Giant is the company to help you take advantage of that. This spring, whether you're dressing for work, the gym, or happy hour, you'll have something you love in your closet from American Giant. Their classic full zip hoodie is iconic, and it's the jacket that started it all for American Giant. It's a body slimming fit with double lined hood, and the reinforced elbow patches mean the hoodie will last. Find a closet staple for every part of your spring days at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use the code RJ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code RJ.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
The price at this number, it's just the Rangers team. Because, I mean, you take a look at who has faced over this last, I mean, his first four starts. He had the Rays in his first start, but then he had Houston in back-to-back starts, and then Atlanta in his last start. So, I mean, those teams are really good hitting teams, right? Even the Astros in those, despite their recent struggles, they put up 19 combined runs in those two starts by Andrew Haney. I know he gave up eight earned runs to the Astros. The last week, or his last start last Friday, I should say, against the Braves, he allowed three earned runs to only give up three hits overall, but two of them left the yard. And if you kind of take a look at it, Griffin, that he's allowed 4-4-3 hits in his four starts. So he's not giving up a lot of hits. It seems like he's just giving up a lot of hard contact and balls that are going over the fence. So I think it's a good bounce back spot here for Andrew Haney, especially against a team like the Mariners who are struggling against left-handed pitching. And it's funny, you take a look at Luis Castillo, who got off to an absolutely atrocious start. And then he just goes into Coors Field in his last start, throws seven shutout innings, only allowed two hits. So go figure on that one. But I think I like the Rangers in a spot. I think there's a good bounce back spot here for Andrew Haney against a struggling offense, like you mentioned there, Griffin. So I'm going to take the home underdog here with you at plus 105. Couldn't shy you away from that under that you mentioned here as well. So yeah, I'll take the home underdog here with the Texas Rangers. Griffin, a lot of great things happening right now on pregame.com. NFL draft is on Thursday night. We've got NBA
Indeed.
playoffs, NHL playoffs. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention you're going to be there live, enjoying that scenery. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm jealous about that.
Who knows? Go ahead.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, we got win totals dropping. We got spring football, but a lot of great things happening right now on pregame.com. Let our listeners know what can they take advantage of.
Yeah, use the promo code ERA10. Just like your favorite stat category, which I guess is sort of moving its way to the dumpster or something like that, but we're still using it. Best way to, I guess, judge a pitcher for, I don't know, all of baseball history until now being replaced by XERA and other things like that. But regardless, use the promo code ERA10. Good for $10 off for all listeners. It's Major League Baseball podcast. Good for 7 days from the podcast release. So you got until, I guess, the second day of Mar of May, excuse me. But make sure you jump in, use the promo code, save $10, ERA10. And the more you use it, the more podcasts we do. Simple as that.
There we go. Make sure you guys get to pregame.com. Use that promo code ERA10. Do us a favor, use it so we can look good in front of the brass over at pregame.com. Griffin, let's keep it rolling here, man. 3:10 Eastern start, the San Diego Padres. They are in Coors Field to take on the Rockies. Randy Vasquez gets the start here for the Padres. And it'll be Dakota Hudson taking the mound here for the Colorado Rockies. The Padres are a minus 148 road favorite here, plus 124 on the money line for the Colorado Rockies. Total is set at 10.5 in this game. Starting to move to 11 here as we speak. But what are your thoughts on this game between the Padres and the Rockies?
Still feels like the totals are very low in Denver, and that's going to be a rude awakening at some point soon. Temps looking like 74 or so game time, so give me over 10.5. I don't think either of these starters do very well. Lineups you can certainly question, but just feels like in Denver, weather's getting better. Take advantage of low totals while you have them.
Yeah, I think the Padres team total is in order here. I'm not sure if I can get, definitely not putting my money on Dakota Hudson. He's been absolutely atrocious to start the season, to say the least. I want to see a little bit more out of Randy Vasquez because before I can back him here, but I would look at the Padres team total over in this game. I think that goes right into your overcall here of 10.5 in this game between the Padres and the Rockies. 4:05 Eastern start. The LA Dodgers, they are in the nation's capital to take on the Nationals. Yamamoto Day for the LA Dodgers, and it'll be Mackenzie Gore, left-handed pitcher for the Nationals. Dodgers are a minus 192 road favorite here, plus 160 on the money line for the Nationals. Total is set at 8.5 in this game here, Griffin. Yamamoto and Gore, what are you thinking?
Mackenzie Gore, unfortunately, I feel like came back down to earth against the Astros and gets a even tougher matchup drawing the Los Angeles Dodgers his next start. I feel like they've seen him a fair amount when he was in San Diego. Not really a great matchup, I think, in general. I'm still not really a believer in Yamamoto yet. I know it was kind of colored by a pretty poor start in Korea, which maybe should be thrown out at this point, but I think he still needs to prove a little bit more to me at this point. The nice part, he gets Washington, who's not going to hit much, but I think the Dodgers getting 9 at-bats guaranteed is a good way to see more than 8.5 runs scored in this one. So I like over there.
Yeah, I love the over in this game. They're right there with you. It seems like Mackenzie Gore gets through the first couple innings, or at least the first two innings. Looked like he's going to have a great start. But when he goes to, I guess, that second or third time through the lineup, I think that's where he really gets into trouble here. Last week, he had the Astros. 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 3 earned runs he gave up in that game. So I think that we see something similar here in this game. Facing the Dodgers, if you look at a Dodgers team total, I don't want to, again, like you mentioned, I'm not sold on Yamamoto just yet. At least on U.S. soil, the Dodgers have lost 3 out of his 4 starts. And over his last 2 starts, he's allowed 6 earned runs in 11 innings pitched. The Dodgers have lost both of those starts. But like you mentioned about the total, we've seen a combined 15 runs and 13 runs, respectively, in those two games with Yamamoto's starting in those games. So I could, look at the full game over 8.5 or the Dodgers team total in this game. 7:05 Eastern start. The Oakland A's, they are in Yankee Stadium to take on the Yankees. Alex Wood getting the start here for the A's, and it'll be Nestor Cortez for the Yankees. Yankees are a minus 250 home favorite here, plus 205 on the money line. for the A's. Total is set at 8 in this game here. Griffin, what do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, two offenses that I don't really have a lot of faith in. Yankees certainly could be, this could be the day they wake up, but I've seen too much of them struggling. Aaron Judge doesn't look like himself so far this season. And let's remind ourselves that he came off a pretty significant or severe injury last season. Wonder how healthy he is, or just wonder if maybe it's the rust that's still trying to work it all off. Alex Wood has had some great starts over his career, certainly has been a journeyman, pitched for probably 15 teams and 30 team Major League Baseball at this point. Cortez probably does well enough against Oakland, keeps them off the scoreboard. So believe it or not, in the Bronx, I think I like the under here.
Yeah, I think Cortez can go really well along here at Yankee Stadium. I don't think the A's have been doing very well against left-handed pitching thus far this season. Yeah, they're bottom five in most offensive statistical categories, batting .207 against left-handed pitching, WRC+. They're right below league average, and I think the Yankee bats woke up a little bit on Wednesday night. Maybe they were able to carry that momentum into this game here, but I can't see Nasty Nestor Cortez shutting down this A's lineup, and Yankees maybe win this game something in the realm of 4-2, 5-2, something in that range where it does get under this total of 8. So I will look at the Yankees run line here and also co-sign you on the other under 8 in this game between the A's and the Yankees. Griffin, that is the day baseball tomorrow. I'm really excited. We got baseball all day. My screens are going to be fired up for the day. We'll get through it. Hopefully we found some winners here, which leads us to our best bets to wrap up this MLB podcast here. You want to lead us off with your best bet?
Yes, happy to do so. I'm going to keep it simple, stupid. I'm going to go with over 10 and a half runs in Denver. Randy Vasquez, don't really have a great book on him. Dakota Hudson, we've seen that he's a sinker ball pitcher in a park where keeping the ball in the yard is helpful, but it has such a large park, it's really hard to do anything unless you're striking guys out. And I don't think Dakota Hudson is going to do much of that. Getaway day is a little bit of a concern, but 10 and a half, I feel like it's too small of a total for decent weather in Denver. So give me over 10 and a half runs, Padres at Rockies.
Yeah, I love that. I think this is the game where we do see the bats break out. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Padres did the bulk of the scoring here and they score 7-8 runs themselves. So Dakota Hudson has just been that bad for this Padres team. So I will co-sign that with you on that best bet. For my best bet, I'm going to go over to Zach Wheeler, man, and the Phillies. I think this is a good spot for them. At plus money on that run line, -1.5, +105. Not really a believer in Nick Martinez, and definitely not a believer in that Reds bullpen as well. I think Zach Wheeler bounces back here. He does get the run support in this game from the Phillies bats, and I think we see another solid performance here from the Phillies. So right now it's at DraftKings -1.5 +105 on that run line there. So definitely I will take that every day of the week. So hopefully we come back on the next spot and we do sweep our best bets here going 2-0. Feeling really good about these two bets here, Griffin.
Indeed. I think you've been off to a great start. I think the podcast has in general, my goal. I'm just trying to ride off your coattails and have your hot streak rub off on me. So let's keep it going.
Yeah, 100%. We're off to a great start again. Still very, very early on, but hopefully we can continue it into the month of May, starting midweek next week. And then, we'll be grinding along for the rest of the season as well. So, yeah, 10-game schedule, as it usually is on Thursdays. That one went by a little quicker than we usually go here. But, I'm glad that we were able to get this out for our listeners before the weekend. So definitely looking forward to the games on Thursday. Anything else you want to mention, Griffin, before we go our separate ways?
Yeah, just use that promo code ERA10. Every time you use it, it's like we did a sale or something like that. So it makes people that watch these numbers, makes them happy. And so make sure you throw it in there. Save $10. You're gonna spend some money anyway. Why don't you save 10 bucks? You can buy you a burrito at Chipotle. Maybe it's probably too expensive for that now, but something like that.
Yeah, definitely a little bit more expensive there at Chipotle. But maybe, we can find something else for you guys. We'll be back over the weekend early next week for the Monday game, so look out for us then. Griffin, my man, enjoy the NFL draft. Hopefully you have a fun time and a safe trip, and I think I did find a fellow Office fan. We'll talk about that offline with your reference to Keep It Simple Stupid, but here we are. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride.